This is Dr. What, Dr. Where, Stories of Rural Medicine. It's the podcast exploring what it's like to live, work, and train in rural medicine across regional Victoria. We're bringing you all sorts of ways to take your professional career to a new level, no matter where you're at. In this episode, we're looking at the Victorian Rural Generalist Program. The VRGP is a statewide, end-to-end training program that allows future rural generalists to work, live, and train in rural and regional Victoria. And one of the great benefits to this program is the support and guidance on offer for anyone looking at becoming a rural generalist in Victoria. Here's Kate Carlisle, the statewide program coordinator for the VRGP, to outline some of the ways in which they're involved in this journey.
We're a coordination unit. We're part of the National Rural Generalists Pathway. So we provide support for end-to-end training for rural generalist trainees in Victoria. We work with stakeholders to facilitate training opportunities and experiences within rural and regional Victoria. From pre-vocational years, so your early intern PGY 2 years, right through to fellowship with your chosen college.
How does the VRGP help trainees?
So we're really, a support network for trainees. Each of our 5 regions has a regional coordinator, and they assist trainees by mapping out career or training pathways with consideration of individual trainee needs and college requirements. They work with trainees and health services to facilitate training opportunities and exposure to rural generalism, because we see that's so important, early exposure to the lifestyle and the career within rural generalism is really important. They also assist in navigating the training requirements to become a rural generalist, and they also provide support for trainees to laterally enter the program. So you can, there's a few touch points where you can come in, enter VRGP. You don't have to, start at the very, very beginning in intern year. We also have clinical leads. So they actually provide career advice and they provide support within their specialty field, like obstetrics, anaesthetics, pediatrics, emergency medicine, and any of the other non-procedural skills. So we're basically, we advocate for trainees and we just help them navigate their training pathway.
From those trainees' perspectives, what does this program lead towards in terms of fellowship and career practicing rural medicine, and perhaps also some of the other things to do with practicing medicine, like building a professional network?
Yeah, so, I mean, we recognise there is a massive shortage of doctors everywhere, but particularly we see that in rural and regional areas of the country, but looking at Victoria. So rural generalists play a really important role to give communities access to high-level healthcare. We advocate the career as a rural generalist as something that is, so highly valued by rural communities. There's a saying that some rural generalists see, birth to grave. So you get to follow your patients and families along their journeys. And I think it's such a rewarding career, and you have the benefit of being challenged within your career. You can be in a general practice in the morning, and by the afternoon you can be in theatre delivering babies or in emergency assisting, in trauma. So it's so varied, it's so valued. We don't understand why you'd want to choose any other career, to be honest. But yeah, we see VRGP as a huge part, along with other stakeholders, contributing to equitable health care for all communities and, helping to, I won't say solve, but contribute to building that great workforce of RGs within rural locations. We've got some fantastic supervisors and really engaged rural generalists. So you're trained by rural generalists. They're doing the training as well. They're supervising, they're mentoring. So it's a really supported pathway, and you can live it throughout all your exposure along the way. You can really see what your life might be like as a rural generalist. Yeah.
What is the VRGP trying to achieve?
I guess a long-term objective for the program is to increase the employment of rural generalists in rural health services, keeping in mind rural generalists also service the community within general practice. And I guess, as I said, just to assist addressing the workforce needs of rural communities within the state. So yeah, we acknowledge the importance that rural generalists play within the community, and yeah, we feel like we have a really important role there to market the program and support trainees to choose a career as a rural generalist and to highlight the advantages. There's, I guess, a lot of fear from the younger pre-vocational doctors who may have never come to rural areas. So we need to, through our program, give these junior doctors exposure to rural medicine and rural generalism. So yeah, we feel that we play a really important role into addressing workforce needs in rural places.
I know you touched on it earlier, but could we just go back to what you and the regional coordinators do for rural generalist trainees? Because it seems like it's a pretty broad role you have in terms of supporting their career pathway.
We are a member of a team. It takes a team to train a rural generalist. So we don't provide the training, but we certainly provide the support to help trainees reach that fellowship at the end. So there's certain college requirements. So RACGP and ACRM are the GP training colleges. And there's certain requirements that they have in terms of, there might be rotations that you have to have achieved before you start your general practice training. So we can advocate and we can work with trainees to form a little bit of a pathway and help them achieve those requirements. So it might mean that we speak to employing health services and say, can we assist this trainee by exposing him to a rotation in obstetrics, for example? So we really advocate and try and, because it is overwhelming to navigate all the requirements. We start at medical student level, so we were always out in the rural training clinical schools, and we try and promote what it would be like for, you know, to choose a career in rural journalism. So I guess we promote, advocate, and try and just keep steering the trainees in a direction that, because life changes and sometimes, you know, things don't go as planned, but I feel like we offer a really flexible solution and it might take a little bit longer, but yeah, we're with them every step of the way. So yeah, and you know, we also offer case management. So we have, like, all of our region coordinators would have a caseload, and they vary from doctors who might be already fellowed and qualified. They might come back and like to do a second advanced skill. So right from medical school, right through to post-fellowship. So yeah, we're very busy, but we're trying to get to everyone and tell everyone how great a career as a rural generalist would be.
You're also involved in programs like the John Flynn Pre-Vocational Doctor Program. What's your role in that area of the program you're running?
Yeah, so the John Flynn Pre-Vocational Doctor Program is Commonwealth funded, and it's aimed towards pre-vocational trainees. So first, second year, up to fifth year. But for those trainees that have an interest in rural generalism or becoming a rural GP, it actually offers rotations in a rural context in general practice. So as I said before, getting that exposure really early is so important. We place trainees all over the state in general practice, and they are really well supported by supervisors in the practice, and they get supervised to see patients as you would in a normal day as a rural GP or a rural generalist. So it's a fantastic program and it's slowly growing. And yeah, it's been really successful. So we've had some really good feedback from general practices participating and also trainees. So we're trying to broaden our scope of participating general practice, so it gives more trainees the opportunity to experience life as a rural GP.
The VRGP program is split into five regions: the Southwest, Grampians, Loddonmalley, Hume, and Gippsland. And each of these regions has a coordinator who is hands-on with shaping rural generalist pathways. Each of these regions offer different training opportunities, as well as unique medical experiences depending on where you are in Victoria. You can find out more on the VRGP's website, but we spoke to a few of the regional coordinators to see what it's like in their region. Here's Julie Rogalski, the Gippsland Regional Coordinator.
You know, every one of our five regions is quite unique in its own right, in its, you know, in the construct of how the health services operate, their profile, their commitment, if you like, and the regional uniqueness and nuances of us all. So I don't think any of them all look the same. So, and I think that's the thing in rural generalism. It's not necessarily the choice of medicine for all medical students or doctors, but if it's the flexibility of it appeals to, you know, a doctor who, or a medical student grad who's, I guess, looking at it thinking, I want to make a difference to a rural community, then this is a good pathway. Depending on what their discipline is, I tend to tailor them to where they and create the pathway and their rotations depending on where they're going to work and what preparatory, you know, requirements they need as well. For Gippsland, you could say that we recruit initially to East Gippsland as your purist, but then I work with a team of interns who are what I call the lateral entry prospects as well, whether it's for rural generalism or for a GP pathway. And that's the rotations that are funded through the John Flynn program. Mm. I think you could say lots of entry points. It's quite flexible. And depending on what your discipline is or what you're planning on doing as your advanced skill depends on which centre is going to offer that, which health service will depend on when I start to stream you to that health service and make you known to it. So my biggest centres that I train in is, yes, if I can keep them end-to-end training as an option in East Gippsland and continue to build that up as a hub. But my next biggest one is Warragul. Warragul trains in a number of advanced skills that I can't offer in Bensdale because we don't meet the accreditation requirements and don't have the consultants. And specifically to that, I'm going to say anaesthetics, obstetrics, and paediatrics. Mm. The same can be said for La Trobe, which is my next biggest centre that I also send trainees to, and that's because they're the regional provider in Gippsland for palliative care and mental health. So they also do obstetrics and anaesthetics, and it's because you need the specialists and we don't have them in Bensdale. I guess you could say that's the unique nature for Gippsland, is that your chosen community, you know, we start that conversation really early, pre-intern even. I do a session with the students at 4C when they're doing their GP placement. So they're already working with and alongside some really, you know, fantastic general practices of Gippsland, and they've got rural generalists in there, or very extended general practice models. And then I see all of those students and start to identify them there for the early preferential allocation to intern. If anybody expresses an interest at that point, then they're invited along to already start to do education with us.
In terms of the case management of these trainee pathways, there's a lot to do here. How involved are you with the process of plotting out these pathways, you know, coming up with some career advice or mentorship, all those sort of supports?
Sometimes I'll mock one up before they're even an intern, depending on, just to give them an idea of what that could look like. Again, they have to go through the process and be selected, but we will always work with our five RG1s and do one by the first couple of months of their intern, and that'll be their first, you know, kind of blue sky thinking. We can mock up different versions of it. I think last year I did three different versions for one of my interns. Like, one was for ACRM, one was for RSCGP, and one was if you traveled, and one was if you got pregnant, and one was, you know, if you wanted to do this discipline or this discipline. So there can be lots of different scenarios in how we do it. So we mock the first one up as what this could look like, but always, you know, with the caveat that, or the disclaimer that this is very flexible. We then revisit it into your PGY2 year. At that point, you should start to have an idea of what your college is and whether you're going with ACRM or the RSCGP, and then what requirements they need and where you're going to then stream to if you're doing it an advanced training year, because you should give them some experience in their second year of training to the discipline that they want to do. There's no use going to obstetrics if they've never done any obstetric work, because they're only going to potentially set up to be, you know, to fail and not like it at all. So you have to give them some exposure in their pre-vocational training years. Within that, we'll also put in some specific training courses or certifications that are really beneficial to one being a rural generalist or working in a primary care setting, all relevant to, again, the discipline that they've selected.
Earlier, you ran through a pretty wide range of subspecialties that you can do in the region. Are there some that are more popular than others?
Yeah, so the most popular is anaesthetics. By far, it is the most defined, if you like. It's got a very clear credential endpoint as a diploma. It's quite, as I said, defined in terms of when you're working in a hospital, you're doing a list and then you go home. That's opposed to what would be one of my biggest regional needs, which is obstetrics, and that's a lot more unpredictable. So you don't know when people are going to have babies or require seizures or you know, instrumental deliveries or anything like that. So that's a lot more challenging one to attract trainees to it. Very fulfilling for them as a doctor and rewarding, but nonetheless, it's when you're on call or if you're got to get up in the middle of the night and deliver a baby, it's the discipline in which is the most unpredictable, and it would be my biggest area of need, along with mental health. And mental health is going to be with everyone in every community, given the prevalence data, if you like, of mental health needs. So the more we can upskill a rural generalist workforce to really take I think that pressure off the tertiary facilities or inpatient mental health, but it's a very hard discipline to attract people to as well. I would say at the moment that would be based on, again, the nature of the work. It's difficult work and it's not particularly well remunerated at the moment until they get up the national recognition remuneration of rural generalists, then I think that you might make a difference.
And those subspecialties that you mentioned there is a need for, is that just for a training pathway, or are the employers, the health services in the region, looking for those subspecialties as well in rural generalists?
They're looking for them as well. I can't, they're the hardest to fill. Obstetrics, as I said, mental health is as well. Anaesthetics oversubscribed to, so far more competitive. The next one that's an emerging one, which is also will meet a good community need, is palliative care. That one is becoming increasingly popular. Emergency is popular as well, and it's quite defined in how you're going to work there, but you're going to do shift work on that one. Pediatrics is variable, and I've only got that at one centre at the moment. So even though, like, we only have a couple of funded posts per year, but, I mean, that's not to stop a health service if they've got the right candidate and they meet the accreditation needs in you know, potentially self-funding it themselves, that's not something we'd be averse to either. You know, as I said before, it's not necessarily the chosen pathway for all young aspiring medical students, but if it's a medical student who perhaps is interested in the flexibility and can see themselves working with a clinical attachment to a hospital as well as in a primary care facility and working you know, in a subspecialty way to meet the needs of their community, then it's a really good pathway, and this program does support them end to end and starts with them from interns. My other take home message is make yourself known to us as early as you can. Even from being a medical student, more than happy to know that we will do early intros, we will do include you in some educational events and things like that. So you start to develop your own mentoring, if you like, and connections with current trainees, but also the fellows. Even if you decide to change your mind, but just don't dismiss it as a specialty that isn't as exciting as the others, because it's the one that's the most flexible and it's the one that you can take it where you want to take it.
What do you look for in a trainee?
With a trainee, we ideally would, if you can line all of these components up, is the most ideal. But what we look for is one who has grown up rural. Secondly, if most of their medicine has been done rural, and if most of it hasn't been, like as in a rural clinical school, but if they've also been in Melbourne, that's not a problem, as long as they've had some experience and done rural rotations. That is another one. Thirdly, do they have a rural connection? And by that we mean, have they got some family, they got friends, is their partner from the area maybe, you know, so that they kind of got a sense of care for that rural community or a rural community. Fourthly, that we will look for how are they involved in their rural community. So more than the being just a doctor. So what do they do outside the consulting space or outside the health service? Are they involved in things like the local park run or maybe the local sporting groups or the church group or, you know, community theatre or anything like that, whatever their interest is. And it's about, you know, the qualities they take to other things outside other than being a doctor. And then fifth to that, it would be that if they've got most of those things, they would generally, by virtue of their own, you know, training and exposure in rural rotations and rural training, they'd have already developed their own rural mentors or their own, you know, rural advisors who might be working in a primary care setting or in the local hospital or something like that. You know, obviously, a lot of students are very resourceful in their own right, so we like to complement them in that. So they're the things that we ideally look for, or combinations of those.
And here's Jolene Mitchell, the Hume Regional Coordinator.
The case management process through VRGP has been incredibly beneficial for trainees. Many of them come through and really don't know how to navigate their training pathways as a rural generalist, where the opportunities lie, how they might get some of their core generalist training, or even exposure to other things like primary care settings or rural generalist when they've been through the hospital system as well. So it kind of alleviates a lot of stress that we can have a chat to them, sit down, plan their training pathway, talk to them about what they wanted to do, where are the gaps in their training, identify that. We can access funding to support them being able to achieve that training. And it gives them a really good plan. Even if they decide to change it later down the track, they can, many of them say, I'll put my training plan on the wall. It's helped a lot. They're able to know that they've got a bit of a plan forward, and that we're also helping to identify to pre-match them into positions or lining up those training posts for them.
In terms of what it's been like for trainees, what's the feedback you get about the program?
So for the VRGP program in Hume, we've had really good, strong, positive feedback from trainees right across the training pathways, from internship right through to when they've fellowed as well. Trainees have fed back that they know that we all care about them, that their supervisors, that the case managers, trainees, the local health services, they all care about the trainee, about their learning and their community. And that's something that really resonates quite frequently that comes through there, and that become part of the community as well. Trainees also feedback that the education opportunities are incredible in the Hume region as well. We're really lucky to be able to link in with the Rural Generalist Skills Workshops program that the Murray to the Mountains and the Golden Valley Regional Training Hub run. So there are all sorts of things like your obstetric emergencies, fracture clinics, cardiac emergencies, all sorts of things like that, dental workshops. So they run throughout the year, predominantly for the M2M interns, but we have increased the capacity, so we're actually able to open that up to students coming through the region, further RG2s and 3s, or even other trainees, interns who aren't in the M2M program. The feedback also that we have so much diversity in the region, in opportunities, that we are well connected with the health services. As a regional coordinator, we work really closely with the health services, so we know what the capacity is, we know where the opportunities are, and the really good training spots too.
What are some of the more popular subspecialties in your region?
So for Hume, we actually have a really good diverse range of interest across our subspecialties. There is an increase in interest in the palliative care and mental health subspecialties. Consistently, there's always a really strong interest in anaesthetics, obstetrics, and ED. Anaesthetics can be a little bit more tricky at times because we have some pockets that are in areas of need, but in some areas we are oversubscribed as well.
In terms of those areas of need, is that just for trainees to do rotations and that sort of thing, or is it for workforce shortages more broadly?
Yes, in the areas of needs, workforce shortages more broadly. And when we work with trainees, we work with them looking at really where they're wanting to end up longer term and with the subspecialty that they want. So we know in our region we've got a shortage of obstetrics, particularly in the Mansfield area. And obstetrics, as a rural generalist, can be used in either Mansfield, Benalla, or up in Albury-Wodonga Health. Palliative care and mental health are a shortage right across the space, right across the region. Anaesthetics, we have pockets in Kilmore and Kyabram where we need more RG anaesthetics requirements there to service those workforce needs. So we're really working longer term in anticipating that. And emergency medicine, those skills will be used anywhere across the region and be put to good use, so everyone's in need of emergency medicine. So in the Hume region, we have a number of unique training experiences. I've touched already on the Murray to the Mountains intern program. While we have a number of trainees coming through that who have rural generalist interests, we also have a number of trainees wanting to come through just to experience what rural medicine is like and may end up going into another specialty rather than rural generalist. We're currently working on a pilot of a hospitalist position that's working with the larger health services and the small rural. So we're able to put the PGY2, PGY3 trainees into the small rural hospitals, working pretty much a 9-to-5, Monday to Friday roster, but being the main person in the hospital and well supported by the local GPs to be able to support the health service. So that's really exciting. We have a lot of strong interest. We're running a pilot this year and planning on expansion for next year. So watch this space, because the whole state is watching how we might be able to do that. We also have, in the statewide, we have the John Flynn program. So we work really closely with our rural hospitals and our rural GPs as well, being able to support trainees. And when we're case managing trainees for John Flynn's, that's going out into a primary care setting for a rotation. And we work with the trainees looking at what is their subspecialty that they're looking at, or what kind of experience are they wanting to have experience. And also their longer term interest and in where they're wanting to settle. So if they're wanting to go somewhere up like Corryong, or maybe end up in Bright, we'll connect them up there. And so they can start to connect themselves with the GPs up there in the health services, or maybe even have an experience with the local rural generalists and see what that's like as a rural generalist setting as well.
With the Murray to the Mountains program, it sounds like it's a very unique kind of experience in the way it's structured, but also just the experiences you can get while you're training. Like a lot of regions in Victoria, you have some pretty unique experiences you can get hands-on with that, you know, it's hard to kind of get elsewhere.
Correct. The Murray to the Mountains program has been running, I think this is its 13th or 14th year running now. So it's really embedded within our communities. The trainees are coming into the intern program, are employed by NCN Health, and then they're seconded then through to Albury Wodonga Health or Northeast Health Wangaratta. But through that, they have the opportunity to do two of their intern rotations or 20 weeks into GP. So these are really well-established GP rotations. The GPs are well experienced in having interns through there, and in fact some of the practices, this has been their recruitment process for many years, and many of the fellow doctors there now have come through the Murray to the Mountains intern program. It offers a really good opportunity. We do lots of things throughout the year, bringing the trainees together either through the skills workshops. We run some online training in geriatrics and pediatrics as well. We run some social activities wherever we can. We try and get the trainees all together. And they have a fantastic time. They embed themselves in our local hospitals such as Albury or Albury Wodonga Health or Northeast Health Wangaratta. So they're working really closely with the other interns in the region. But then they also get access to all these other education opportunities and skills workshops as well. So we work closely with the health services to make sure they get that time to attend those education sessions as well. So the Hume region, we also have a lot of lifestyle unique experiences. We're cross-border, so you've got Albury Wodonga Health, and many of the smaller towns go cross-border in their services. We have remote medicine up at Mount Beauty for some lucky trainees. We've got a lot of access to Alpine and in placements like Bright, Corryong, Mount Beauty and Mansfield. You get a lot of ski access. So practices going up onto the ski slopes and running their medical clinics out of there as well. So there's lots of sports medicine happening. So you've got water sports, you've got the summer alpine sports like mountain bike riding and hiking. You've got the snow, the winter sports as well, skiing and snowboarding, etc. And we also have really engaged and active supervisors throughout the region, which is, I think, makes the rural generalist pathway, the M2M program and everything else so successful in our region.
Finally, here's Kim Lane, the Grampians Regional Coordinator.
Probably our pre-vocational RG1 or previously known as intern training year is very unique in our region. We have a group of VRGP trainees as well as a different stream. They come in through for training. So we have them employed through East Grampians Health Service in Ararat, and they rotate through St John of God in Ballarat and the towns of Ararat and Mirrabarra, where they do their general surgery and the general practice rotations. So that's quite unique in the fact that when they're in the theatre, they're in a very small group setting. So they're one-on-one with the consultants and the surgeons. They're spending time managing airways and spending time with the anaesthetists. They get a really good whole experience of being a rural generalist in rural hospitals as well as rural medical practices.
What's that like, getting to bounce around all of those different health services and areas, given that they're only about an hour away from each other, but they can offer some pretty different experiences in terms of the medical training?
Absolutely, they do. They offer some very different experiences. They're also, of course, very used to having trainees within their health services. So they're very supportive. They're very understanding. They're very all-encompassing. It's a very warm environment to go into a rural health service or a rural general practice, because you become a part of the team very quickly and you're considered to be a member of the team rather than just an intern who's kind of looking over and observing.
What's the feedback been like from trainees? Is it around that kind of positive hands-on experiences? Is that the sort of feedback you're receiving about their experiences training in the Grampians region?
Absolutely. We have really great feedback from our trainees in regard to the quality, the depth, the support of the training that they receive. And they really appreciate being in a smaller centre and being welcomed into the community. Every door is open to them if they have an interest in a certain area. There are sporting opportunities. And of course, we have the beautiful Grampians where they can explore, do some mountain climbing or biking or all of those activities that are available to them, and beautiful food and wine, of course, in all of these areas.
What are some of the more popular subspecialties in your region to train up as?
The most popular subspecialty that we have filled consistently as a advanced skill post is palliative care, adult internal medicine, emergency, and we have a lot of inquiry around anaesthetics. Anaesthetics is the go-to for a lot of trainees at the moment.
Are these subspecialties ones that employers are looking for at the moment, alongside all of that interest around the training pathways?
There's probably a little bit of a mismatch in that at the moment, in that probably our greatest need within our region at the moment would be obstetrics and gynecology, emergency and pediatrics. And they're not quite the popular posts that people are looking for at the moment. And we have just sent out inquiry to all of our regional and rural health services to ask their feedback on where they see their workforce shortages needs are for next year and in coming years, so that we can try and map our trainees to the needs within the region.
Does that sort of workforce approach to these kind of shortages, is that part of the case managing aspect of what you do as a coordinator of the VRGP?
Yes, of course, because if it's something that we don't have available within our region, or it's something that has already been filled within our region and there are opportunities in other regions across the state within the other four regions, we will hand them on to another coordinator with their permission, of course, and they can discuss options in other areas of the state. We do build really close working relationships with the trainees we're coordinating. And when we're building their rural generalist pathways, we are getting a big picture information about their lives. So we get to know them really quite well. And we work closely with each trainee to set up a personalised training plan that works for them.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in learning more about the VRGP and where it can take you, head to vicruralgeneralist.com.au. We've covered all kinds of aspects of studying and training rural medicine, and there's plenty more to come. Feel free to subscribe on your favourite podcast app to catch new episodes every fortnight. The Northwest Victoria and Gippsland Regional Training Hubs have commissioned this podcast to help medical students and junior doctors learn more about training and practicing medicine in regional Australia. There are hubs all across the country. So to find out where your nearest regional training hub is, visit the link in the episode show notes or just search regional training hubs. This podcast is brought to you by Monash Rural Health, presented by Patrick Laverick, that's me, and it was made possible by funding from the Rural Health Multidisciplinary Training Program at the Commonwealth Department of Health.